Hello, beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. Let's begin.
Some Democratic Party politicians may contribute to the struggle against Trump MAGA fascism, but the Democratic Party will not and cannot lead this struggle where it needs to go. It is up to the decent people in the millions and millions to stop this Trump fascist juggernaut and the horrors it is moving to impose on people in this country and in the world as a whole. Ongoing protests and powerful mobilizations all over the country have been very important, and they show the potential for what must be done. But all this must make a leap soon to become a massive popular uprising, determined to actually defeat this fascist regime, uniting around the urgent demand: the Trump fascist regime must go now. This means no business as usual. It means protest and resistance building day after day, nonviolent but sustained and relentless, responding to repression by the fascist regime with even greater outpourings of resistance, uniting all who can be united in continually growing numbers, motivated by the necessary sense of urgency, aiming to create a profound political crisis and major shifts and realignments throughout society, including in the dominant institutions of power, so that this illegitimate fascist regime cannot function and is actually removed.
Welcome to the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm very pleased today to be joined by Michelle Chai. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Sansara. It's very exciting. I'm very glad to be back here in studio with you, and welcome to the viewers watching at home. This is the Revolution Nothing Less show. This show is about a real revolution to emancipate all of humanity. We base ourselves on the new communism that has been developed by the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian.
Yeah, and we are coming to you in a time of five-alarm emergency for humanity. The Trump fascist regime is moving rapidly to consolidate their rule in this society. And the courts, the Democratic Party, there is no force within the government, within the ruling structures, that can be relied on to stop them. And they are moving very fast. He threw up alligator Auschwitz in just a matter of days. They've got huge, massive funding to expand the ICE terror raids, the concentration camps. They're shipping migrants again to third country deportation, South Sudan, El Salvador, other places. This is fascism accelerating, and it is really urgent. And this is what we're going to be getting into today, that the masses of people, the decent people of this country, who we have seen in the streets and protest by the millions, that they come forward and into a level of struggle and a form of fighting against this that we have not yet seen. Nonviolent, but determined. Bob Avakian, before we began the show, we played a clip from him talking about the need for a mass, civil, popular, nonviolent uprising of the people. The gears of the machinery of this fascism must be brought to a halt until the regime is removed from power. And this change in the way the decent people are acting needs to begin now.
In the context of this very urgent moment, we want to start with three clips that actually are very moving and inspiring, right? That actually bring alive how very ordinary people, literally in their place of work, when confronted with an actual, like, you know, reality of the horror that these people are bringing down on the masses, they are moved to act. We're going to start with a little league coach in Harlem that talks about having to step in as he sees ICE actually coming, you know, after his students.
In New York, a youth baseball coach saying he was forced to step in. He saw ICE agents approaching and starting to question kids that were on the field practicing baseball.
All of a sudden, I see them make a beeline to my kids, and I said, whoa. So I said, everybody get your stuff, get your gear, and go to the back of the batting cage. And I whispered to them, I said, listen, I'm not going to let them get through me. I said, if you guys got to climb this fence and get out of here and, you know, mm-hmm. that's what I have to do. And I just said to myself, I'm willing to die to make sure that you get home.
So that they could get home to their parents.
I'm willing to die today.
What did the bystanders do?
I'm a New Yorker bone on bone, and we're tough people here, but I saw cowards.
It's okay, they're kids. Yeah, tell me what did you want to see, and what disappointed you?
Obeying to authoritarianism, to authority, that was out of line. Pissing on the Constitution.
And next, we're gonna go to a video from a hospital where these very courageous hospital workers stepped in when they saw a landscaper that went into their hospital for shelter while he was being chased by ICE. So let's go to that video now.
Let go. An immigration enforcement operation gets heated as clinical staff in scrubs comes to the defense of an undocumented man seeking shelter inside their facility.
I need to get out. You can't even identify yourself. You have no proper identification.
Hey, what's up? I'm just telling you, what's up?
Hey, you're coming here. You identify yourself.
This last video is from Oxnard, California, where ICE carried out their largest operation, where they rounded up 300 people at a farm. And as soon as people heard that this was happening, videos went out all over social media. The rapid response networks activated and continued to make calls for hours for people to come down to Oxnard. And people did. Members of the REFCOM Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity went out there and stood side by side with both very angry older white people and also a lot of the children of the people that were inside that were being rounded up. A lot of these people that were in tears looking for their family member were getting tear gassed by these ICE Gestapo thugs. And people courageously stayed there, standing up to ICE for hours up until the middle of the night. So let's go to that video.
We are right in the midst of it. I got to tell you, this is a licensed greenhouse, cannabis complex, one of the largest in California. It's called the Glass House Farms. And that is what's on the other side of where these officers are having a standoff with people who are very, very upset about this whole thing. Again, we're talking about a licensed facility. So what has been happening is an ongoing standoff. You see more officers coming at us. And let's go to the area. Because what happens is every once in a while they try to come out with vehicles, and as you'll see from the aerial, people will try to stop those vehicles to detain, and those vehicles are carrying some of the farm workers who were at that facility. And as that happens, things get very tense, and you end up with canisters of tear gas being thrown at the crowd to actually disperse them. So this has been going on all day. Take a look. The crowd runs as canisters of gas hit the ground off Laguna Road, where protesters have been facing off with Homeland Security officers carrying out an operation at a local farm. The only option is to take cover with protesters behind a vehicle.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah, we're okay.
You all right? Oh, that's funny.
From Sky Fox, you can see quite a few people lined up sitting on the ground at one of the farms. You can also see more federal personnel using gas to push back protesters who've gotten word of the operation.
Get water!
But more people show up to continue the standoff on one side of the barricaded road and the other, where trucks are trying to get in, even emergency vehicles. Ventura County Fire confirming their units were dispatched to provide medical aid along the road for people who'd called 911 after getting hit with the gas or rubber bullets.
If you do get attacked by tear gas and or rubber bullets, just please ask for help. There is a bunch of water and milk here. Help each other out.
Military helicopters can be seen flying low onto the fields, a maneuver generally used to flush out people hiding. No one on the ground is answering our questions or those of people trying to reach family members who are working at the farms.
My mom was here and I tried to contact her, but she doesn't answer me.
nothing I can really do.
When you watch these, you know, like you said, Michelle, you see people who didn't wake up that morning thinking, oh, I'm going to put my life and my body on the line to protect people who I don't even know, people who are not me, people who maybe don't look like me or speak the same language, but people did this. And this is not what's happening among most people, but it shows you the potential. It shows you the heart. And if you think for a minute about the millions that we have seen in the streets, I think 5 million on June 14th, No King's Day across the country, 2,000 protests. You see all these people who have stood up. Imagine if this spirit of defiance and non-compliance and non-violent refusal to allow the machinery of this fascism to grind on started to spread. And so you picture something like in that hospital. Imagine if instead of just the four or five people who had been there right at that moment and seen the gardener and seen ICE coming for him, if they'd had whistles and they blew the whistle, and if everybody in society knew it, when you hear the whistle, you go running. Imagine if people had left the cafeteria, they'd left the waiting room, they'd come from down the halls, and soon you had hundreds of people there when ICE showed up because they heard the whistle and they came running. And imagine if that started to take hold up in Harlem, where that little league was. You know, if other people were taking the same stand as that coach, I'm ready to die for these kids. And imagine also if this wasn't just happening around the struggle against ICE, although that's extremely important, but also in the other realms of this fascist juggernaut, if librarians and teachers were, for example, refusing to remove the books that are being banned and putting them back on the shelves and reading them to students and defying not just one and two here and there, but thousands of them across this country. And you can picture it in every sphere of society, what scientists are doing, what civil government workers are doing, what people in every sphere, what students are doing. If there was a spirit of noncompliance and mass refusal, and if this was increasingly fused with the demand that the Trump fascist regime must go now. So you can see the potential for this in the millions who've acted and in the seeds of these videos that we just played. But there's a race against the acceleration of the fascism of this regime for this to be transformed so that people need to start acting in a radically different way.
You know, one of the things that I've been doing recently is I've been working very closely with some of these farm workers that have recently called for a strike. And we'll get more into this, you know, later in the show. But one of the things that stood out to me is this thing of, like, you know, very ordinary people that have been fighting for the path to legalization for decades now and are now confronted with, it's not just kind of like, you know, it's not just kind of getting to that point where we can actually get some protections, but they're like, people are losing their lives. This was the tipping point for one of the main initiators of this call for a strike, a farm worker. She said to me that after she saw the terror of what happened at the Glasshouse Farms in Oxnard, the video we just watched, and read the story of Jaime Alaniz Garcia, right, a farm worker who was literally chased to his death, falling 30 feet from a building, trying to, you know, when these ICE agents, Gestapo agents, like, stormed these farms, right, and he died, right? These images of him in the hospital bed surfaced, and she just said, look, how much longer are we gonna wait, you know? How many more people are we going to lose if we continue to wait? How many more farms are they going to, you know, attack in the way that they just did, you know, in Oxnard? And she just gathered a handful of farm workers and just got the word out, because this is the urgency of the moment. And again, these ordinary people that are not waiting around, but are actually like, and they're actually pulled by the very reality that we're this fascist regime and everything that they're unleashing on people to act in accordance to what they see as needed.
Yeah, you were telling me that some of these farm workers actually put, after going on strike for 3 days, which is very courageous, they are literally on the front lines of where this terror is coming down, that they put out a challenge to the construction workers, and some of the construction workers answered by going on a strike in solidarity, which is really important. But I also want to stress that people who are not in the direct line of fire, American-born, white people, black people, all kinds of people from all different backgrounds need to stand up together against what ICE is doing, demanding shut down ICE. Also, military out of LA, no military occupation. But against all the dimensions of the fascist Trump regime's program, every part of its machinery, standing up against it and demanding the Trump fascist regime must go now. This has to increasingly be infused into the farm workers' struggle, into the struggle against the ICE raids, and as people come forward against all the dimensions of this regime with the single unifying mission and demand, the only thing that meets the challenge of the moment, which is this regime has to be removed. Unless and until it's removed, it will barrel over opposition. It will bulldoze. It will punish people. It will move on more fronts than people can respond to. But if we come at the entirety of it, if we are able to remove the regime through the mass popular uprising, once again, nonviolently, then you get to the source of it and you can change the whole direction of this. So this is something that has to begin to transform right now.
Yes, and Sarah, that's right. I mean, this is the experience that I was having with some of these farm workers, is that there is a lot of hunger for this larger context, right? And kind of they kept them, you know, kind of inviting me, both because I'm supporting, you know, the strike, but also to be able to call forward many more people to actually stand with them. It's a very courageous thing that they're putting forward and bringing that larger context of what's happening in society and actually disrupting that business as usual, when this is their business as usual, is people actually, you know, losing their lives.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking with you more about your experience with the farm workers and some of the questions that you guys are opening up and the struggle they are waging a little bit later in the show. What we want to do now is we want to take you into the streets of occupied Los Angeles. I was going to say Los Angeles, but we have to say occupied Los Angeles, where a couple days ago, refusefascism.org joined in the National Day of Action called Good Trouble Lives On, and did installations, human living installations, reenacting the CECOT prisoners, the detainees who've been sent by Trump down to CECOT prison in El Salvador, a prison that no one has ever gotten out of except for Kilmar Abrego Garcia, because of the demand of the people. But this is a nightmare, and people reenacted it to bring into people's faces the horror of what's happening and to call on people to join in disrupting business as usual. So this is actually why our episode is not on our regular schedule, because we were out in the streets. We want to bring you some footage of that right now. Tell me what just happened and why you took part.
Hi, my name is Anthony. I took part in a peaceful demonstration of how they're treating prisoners at CECOT. I think it's important right now because these are fundamental rights that are being abused. Right now, we live in a fascist state where people without masks, without identification with masks, are kidnapping people. They're taking them away without any due process. This is simply fascism. There's no other way to look at it.
I am Mexican-American, so it is very personal to me. I'm fortunate that my family came right, like how they call it, the right way. But a lot of people don't have that privilege. Not everyone has the funds for it. Not everyone, I think, not everyone has like the same access to certain programs to get here. Not everyone has the time to get here, which I think a lot of people don't understand. And I mean, just bottom line, the fact that this is even happening in California, which inherently is indigenous to Mexican people, or Mexican people are indigenous to this land, that just on top of the injustice that it already is, just on a human level, the fact that this is our, like my ancestors cultivated this land.
What did it feel like to put this outfit on and to kneel?
I was crying. I know a lot of the other demonstrators were crying as well. It's only a simple little taste of what they're going through. I can't imagine, genuinely, to be stripped of my human dignity like that just because some people are immigrants. And it's gonna turn to you next.
It's, and I'm here voluntarily, right? So if even I can feel that, I can't even imagine what somebody who's actually genuinely going through it is feeling. And, you know, like I was telling one of the other participants, it's uncomfortable for us to be out here kneeling on the concrete. You know, we're still feeling the burning on our legs. But I was sitting there going like, okay, I'm uncomfortable, this hurts, but I get to go home after this. I know where I'm gonna spend the night tonight.
It makes you feel like a ghost, you know, dressed in white. It just does. I feel like a ghost. And I get what they try to strip you. They try to strip what it means to be a human, to put you in in a uniform. You know, they don't even have what we have today, which is why we're doing this. I'm doing this for humanity, for every human being, so that people can have what we had, which was the American dream, where you can come and you can live that American dream and start at the bottom and rise to the top. That's what the American dream is, and that's what Donald Trump is trying to get rid of, so now we're going to get rid of him.
Do you have a message for people who are seeing this? What do you want them to take from this?
I want you to come out, join us, share, just watch, participate, say something.
All right, so I'm out here. We just witnessed this living installation of the CECOT torture with Andy Z. Welcome to the Revolution Nothing Less show, which you co-host.
Yes, thanks a lot. Look, this artistic display of the disappeared was so moving. And they did it was agonizing watching them with their three people had their hair shaved off and the screams felt real. It was from the heart, it was from the gut, it was from the brain. And I think this is something that has to be seen, and it demonstrates our key slogan in Refuse Fascism. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. It just made that ring very true for people.
So one of the things that we have been talking about, and I know one of the things that Refuse Fascism Los Angeles was trying to bring to life, is that we are really in a state of emergency in this country. A fascist regime is in power, and we have been saying, look out, wake up, people. Trump is moving rapidly towards consolidating all-out fascist rule. That means no rights to the people, no rule of law that Trump is bound to respect. The Supreme Court has become itself an instrument of fascist atrocity. And there is no check on Trump's power or ruthlessness unless and until the masses of people stand up and act as that check and drive him from power. But I think this sense that we have gone from a place of sounding the alarm or needing to sound the alarm to a place of all-out emergency hasn't landed fully with the decent people of this country. And I wonder if you want to speak about that a little bit.
Well, I think, you know, part of what I said out here today is, you know, there has to be a tremendous challenge to people. But we have to act now. I mean, we've been calling on people to act with courage, to sacrifice, to stand up, to demand the Trump fascist regime must go now. We've been talking out and raising fists, as we should, and we should continue to. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. But it is time to act in a way that is equal to the challenge that we face. And we need two kinds of things that have to come together, and then we have some plans to start that. One, we have to have a lot of non-compliance with the way they are enforcing this fascist regime, starting with ICE. You know, and we're seeing some of that in Los Angeles, but that needs to get much, much broader. Thousands of people coming out. And it needs to be linked to the second demand that we have, that the Trump fascist regime must go now. We need to be building up the muscles, the organization, to move to the time when we can have millions in the street to create a political crisis such that this regime is being forced from power, that it can no longer rule, it can no longer govern because of the continual upsurge. But these things have to come together. The resistance, you know, we've been talking today about that there's some group that might want to be moving the books back into a library where they've been banned. There's things in the hospitals where people are being denied health care. We heard from one of the actors here who's potentially losing her Medicaid through all of this. So there has to be a lot of non-compliance that's going on that has to be fused together with what we're actually calling for. So we're doing a couple things here in Los Angeles that I think people should know about around the country. One, first they came for the immigrants. I think this is beginning to sink into people. But what you see it right here in this artwork, which has been featured in pictures in the Los Angeles Times, and it was enacted out here. And these are all, you know, father, brother, animal lover, business owner, mother, wife, volunteer, husband, father, business owner, friend, daughter, and sister. These are all human beings. We have to be able to act on this. And in East LA, which we're going to be marching in on Saturday, a march through East LA where people have been staying indoors, not going to their medical appointments. There's volunteers who are bringing food because people won't even go to the supermarket. People are afraid to appear at hearings. We heard lawyers today speaking about that. We're going right in there, raising this stand in the name of humanity. We refuse to accept a fascist America. And we're going in there saying the Trump fascist regime must go. And we're starting to put bodies on the line. Bodies on the line. And there you see it right there. There you see it right there, the honking horns. And that's what we're going to be doing, actually. On Monday, the 28th, we're calling for around the country, lunch hour. Come out of the hospitals. Come out of the schools where they're in session. Come out of your workplaces. Come out of your homes. And for 1 hour, make an angry and joyful noise. Bring your instruments. Bring whistles. Bring pots and pans. And for 1 hour, wake up your neighbors. Disturb the air. And then struggle with them about to stand aside from this great moment is to be complicit in a great horror. And then we're going to do the same thing at 6 o'clock after work. And then we're going to do it again later in the week. And then every week we're going to be doing this. And this is what has to lead to the point of sustained protest with this one single demand: Trump must go now. And so what's starting on Monday is not just 2 hours of making some noise, but the beginning of that kind of process to the point where we can actually have that mass protest that is going to be needed. And part of how we're going to get there, again, is this non-compliance. So these two things are going to be working together.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Andy, for taking a minute. I know it's been a really heavy experience out here. It's been intense. There's been a lot going on. So I appreciate you taking a minute to talk with us and everybody watching on the Revolution Nothing Less show.
So my name is Amina, and we are out here today. This is refusefascism.org. This is an action, a human art installation, which we will do again, called The Disappeared, Los Desaparecidos, because we know that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of our immigrant brothers and sisters who've been locked up, who've been kidnapped, who've been put in concentration camps, not just in this country, but all over the world, in Sudan, in Guantanamo Bay, and Sikhot. And we are here in front of the federal building because this is exactly the location where ICE has its office. This is the location where DHS operates out of. And these are our demands. You gotta say it with me. Shut down ICE.
Shut down ICE.
No military occupation.
No military occupation.
Shut down the whole fascist regime.
Shut down the whole fascist regime.
Trump must go now.
Trump must go now.
30 years ago, in 1994, another fascist at the state level, who at the time was the governor of the state of California, Pete Wilson, he initiated a movement known as Proposition 187. And back then, the target of those fascists in the state of California, just like today nationally, is the undocumented immigrant community. That, again, was the target of that movement. And it was a very great emergency, great political emergency that we went through. But we undertook the responsibility 30 years ago of confronting the fascists of the day. And although that political movement went on to win passage of Proposition 187, that was the end, as a consequence of it, of the Republican Party in the state of California. Not literally. They still have a few Republicans that win office in the great state of California, but they have never been able to win statewide office as a result of their fascist movement in the state of California. So what we are doing here today, and as Brother Andy mentioned, the resist fascist movement over the last 11 years, when they warned us what was coming to America, we have to join that movement and stop it, just like we stopped Proposition 187 in 1994. We need a mass uprising of the people in this country to stop this fascist movement. So we are very happy, as the Full Rights for Immigrants Coalition, to be part of the Trump Must Go Now movement, the Stop Fascism movement.
70% of America did not vote for Trump. We can do this. We are the majority. So please, if you see me and you see yourself, because we are a representation of what America really is, get your ass out there, meet some incredible people, and protest with us. It is not what the media is presenting it to be. These are not riots. These are the best part of the American spirit.
And the reason I was here today as an attorney, being an actor, is to ring the bell and let everybody know, if you don't show up, there will be no tomorrow. There will be no 2016. He has the power to suspend elections. This very well could happen. We need to wake up. Don't forget what he said that one time. He said, vote for me and you will never have to vote in another election again. What the hell did that mean? We will have a demonstration again because you got to ask what's next. The 26th of this month on Saturday will be the next event. You got to show up, people, because if you don't show up, who's going to show up? If you keep thinking someone else is going to do it, guess what? It's not going to happen. It's got to be us. We got to inspire our friends. We got to inspire our neighbors, because if we don't show up, America will be gone. And we will have a police state, and there will be troops patrolling the streets every day.
I'm representing for my black people who think that this is not their fight. Look at this board. They're taking black people. They're taking Hispanic. They're taking black and brown people. They're even taking good white people that's being on our side. And then, of course, I have family that's affected. They have to hide because they have visas, but they've been here for 20 years and they served in the country. And their next court date is coming up, but they can't go to their court date. Why? Because it's a trap. They're going to get arrested. They're going to get deported. And before they get deported, they might die in detention before they even get back to Nigeria or anywhere. So this is personal. Seeing them kids die in detention. The fact that you're putting kids and people, innocent people in cages surrounded by snakes and alligators. How are you human? And basically, the birthright citizenship was meant for citizens of slaves, babies of slaves. That would be me. I'm a descendant of a slave from the oppressors, which are still in office now today. So he took Martin Luther King's statue down at the White House, which my ancestors built that White House, and put Winston Churchill slavery ass up there. This got to stop. Black people, get out and protest. They're taking us too.
There's the only one way to make this regime go away, and that's through massive, nonviolent, sustained protest. That's day after day, week after week, month after month, until this fascist regime is gone. It's a really simple demand. Trump must go now. Sweet potato Hitler will continue to demonize all of our communities, all of our migrants, all of our immigrants, all of our trans friends, everybody that he deems as lesser than him, he will continue to round up and throw in jail. He's going to start arresting all of our political leaders. He's already manhandled Alex Padilla, threatened to arrest Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom. Adam Schiff is now being under investigation for whatever reason he feels fit. Is this the kind of country you want to live in? It's not the country that I want to live in. So let's get to the streets. Let's drive this fascist regime from power.
What do you say?
He got to go. He got to go. Fuck Trump. Fuck Trump.
You know, being out there the other day as part of this experience where they reenacted the CECOT detentions, it was so disturbing and so importantly disturbing to any decent person, with the people who are stopping on the street, everybody who is participating, just witnessing it. I think people need to confront the moment that we're in and what's required of us. And, you know, at the beginning of the show, you mentioned that we take leadership here from Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, the architect of the new communism. And he has brought forward a whole new vision of human emancipation, a whole different way the world could be through a revolution and a strategy to make that revolution. He's been on the revolutionary road for decades. But as part of this, one of the things that he has done is he has stood out for sounding the alarm, for recognizing the rise and the roots of fascism in this country for decades, and for giving people leadership for how to take it on and how it could be defeated. And honestly, if people had listened to him and engaged his work, even just on this question, instead of the snark and the anti-communist bullshit, we would be in a very, very different, a far better place right now
That's right, Sansara. And he has been for decades, he has been providing leadership and analyzing the rise of this fascism. And I think in this moment, we cannot squander this moment, you know, taking leadership, you know, from, you know, he's giving ongoing and, you know, real down on the ground guidance and leadership. And that's where we want to move towards next on the show, is to going to two clips from an interview at the beginning of the year that Sansara, that you conducted with him, that people can go on the channel, on this channel, and actually watch the whole of these interviews. But we're going to watch two clips, right? One is from when you ask him, what is this going to look like, right? What is defeating this fascism going to look like? And the second one is on this question of courage. And I want you at home watching to think about everything that you have seen so far on the show, right? Think about the courageous actions that people are taking, and listen very carefully to the actual leadership and guidance that BA is giving us. So let's go to that now.
You've been emphasizing in your social media messages, and actually you were just speaking to this, that there really are two countries within this country. It's not one United States of America, but a very sharply divided country. And that the decent country needs to defeat this fascist country. And in your social media, you describe the need to bring forward tens of millions of people and massive opposition and resistance on such a level in this country that we create the kind of profound political crisis where Trump literally cannot govern the country and implement his fascist program. What would that look like? I think people have a very hard time imagining something like that.
Again, it goes back to, you know, your basic understanding and your basic orientation. You know, is your orientation, well, you know, I guess the people have decided this, so we have to go along with it. Or is it that this is an outrage, and, you know, no matter by what means it came to power, it is totally unacceptable and we will not go along with that, sort of a basic bedrock stance. Then, once again, you need science. You need to understand, you know, how can, you know, something like this actually be affected in the way that you were just referring to? You know, think back to, for example, not that long ago. I know people are conditioned in this country to have short attention spans. It's one of the big problems we have, you know. But think back just a few years, you know, less than 5 years now to 2020, for example. The whole thing that, you know, erupted on a massive scale when the, you know, the cold-blooded, ruthless murder of George Floyd, along with other murders like Breonna Taylor and so on, was just too much. You know, this happens all the time, but this was just too much. And people poured into the streets. And I remember people, ordinary, you know, regular people saying things, and very sincerely, you know, go ahead. I remember seeing, for example, on the RNL show, we had a clip of one woman in one of these massive demonstrations, which in 2020 involved millions and millions of people. I remember this one woman very sincerely saying, go ahead and kill me if that's what it comes to, because black people are dying out here every day being, you know, slaughtered by the police. You know, so, you know, that kind of outpouring, people, you know, forget things too quickly, including they forget what they actually accomplished, because ultimately that struggle was led into a dead end with demands that had no reality to them, like defund the police, which is never going to happen under this system. But, you know, at its high point, you know, it had such a profound effect that even, you know, I can think, for example, of the, you know, thoroughly reactionary owner of the Dallas Cowboys having to come out and take a knee and pretend to care about these murders of black people over and over again. And other major figures, you know, corporate heads and political figures, all the way up to the very top, had to pretend for the moment to care about this. And these fascists, although they, you know, barked and, you know, raved and ranted, were isolated and put on the defensive politically for this period of time. And this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about when I say we need a movement of people that is, you know, so powerful and so determined that it actually creates such a major political crisis and impact on the whole society that it shakes up everything even at the top, and Trump is actually unable to govern. And how that actually works out in the ranks of the ruling class and all over is not something that, you know, can be predicted or that I'm attempting to predict right now. But you can see the potential for that to happen. You know, if you look at things like 2020 and the mass outpouring. So people have to have the orientation and the determination and the courage in the face of all this and in the face of all these ruling class figures capitulating and running to kiss the ring of Trump. People have to say, it's up to us, it's our responsibility. To hell with all these politicians and others who are running to, you know, kiss ass to Trump. It's our responsibility. And it's our mission to take to the streets in massive numbers and keep coming back. See, that's one of the things that is very important. You know, I lived through the 60s and took part in the 60s. One of the things that was very important about that, whether it was the struggle of black people or against the Vietnam War or around women, so on and so forth, was that, you know, people didn't just come out in a wave of struggle. And then when that receded, that was it. They came back again and again and again. You know, for example, in protesting in massive ways against the Vietnam War, you'd have big protests and the government, our government, quote unquote, the U.S. government, would escalate the war in Vietnam. You'd have another massive protest and they'd escalate the war in Vietnam. But people didn't say, oh, I guess they're not listening to us, so I guess we'll just go home or crawl back into a hole. People got more angry. People came forward more powerfully. They brought forward more numbers. And that's what needs to happen now. And this is what I mean by creating, through massive and determined struggle of millions and millions of people, the kind of political situation, the kind of profound political crisis, where it really becomes a situation where Trump cannot govern the country and cannot implement his fascist program.
You have come back to the question of sacrifice and courage a number of times today. And I wonder if there's anything you want to share from your own personal development about how you have rooted yourself to find the courage and to make the sacrifices you have made and how other people should find that courage, especially in these very, very heavy times.
First, you have to care. You know what I mean? I could go into a whole thing, which I won't do here, you know, about my upbringing. You know, including some religious elements of it where, you know, my parents, especially my mother, were very religious, but it was a kind of religion that, you know, said you should care about other people and you should care about what's happening to people, not just those immediately around you, but more broadly, even though it was within a certain limited framework. And, you know, as I came up, I encountered all these things that were wrong, that were terrible, that were unjust. You know, the treatment of black people. And then as I learned more about other people who were oppressed and discriminated against, you know, it became, you know, intolerable to me, you know. And then at a certain point, I encountered people who had a deeper understanding of this. And I was willing, you know, to learn from them. I was anxious to learn from them. I wanted to know, okay, look, these things are terrible. They're intolerable. People shouldn't be, to put it in basic terms, people shouldn't be treated this way. Here and all, you know, all over the world as I learned more. So what, you know, how do you understand why this is happening? And there were people that I interacted with that had a, you know, an understanding of this up to a certain point. And I, you know, I listened to them, I argued with them when I didn't understand what they were saying or I didn't agree with it. You know, and, you know, there's nothing particular about me. Everybody has their own specific, you know, development, you know, in terms of where they come from and the experiences they have and all that kind of thing. But, you know, you face junctures along the way where, you know, you come to understand more deeply what you're up against. And again, here's where, you know, the increased scientific or the deeper scientific understanding enables you to understand more. But then you face, again, the question of what are you going to do about that? And, you know, are you going to just pull back and, you know, think only about yourself? Or does the thing that drove you to care in the first place drive you to understand more deeply and to get more deeply involved? And, you know, that's what has happened with me. And you know, as I learned from other people along the way, you know, I also applied myself where I thought there were shortcomings in what people I greatly respected, what their understanding was and what they said needed to be done or what the problem and the solution was, to put it that way. I applied myself deeply. You know, I learned from them where you know, they taught me a great deal, and where I could understand that what they were saying was actually in accordance with what was actually happening. But I also, felt the need, and put it that way, to go further. Yeah, further. I felt the need to go further in order to get a deeper understanding of these things. And that's as I've said many times, that's a continuing process. It's a lifelong process of continuing to deepen your scientific understanding of what is the actual cause of all these horrors that you come to see and cannot, somehow accommodate to, or, go ahead just living your life knowing that all these horrors are happening. You have to keep going deeper to understand what is the cause of all this? What is it all rooted in, and how can you deal with it? How can you put an end to it? Is there a way to put an end to it? That's a real question. You know, it could be that there are just a lot of horrors and there's nothing that can be done about it. But as I pursued a scientific approach and gotten deeper and deeper into that, I've come to understand that there is a solution to this. It's not an easy one. It's one that requires struggle and sacrifice and, yes, courage. But it's a real one, and it's a pressing, urgent need for the masses of humanity that we all apply ourselves to bringing this about. Because what's going on and accepting the way things are going is both unnecessary and therefore all the more intolerable. So, that's my own personal development. And, for whatever combination of reasons, I have felt, for decades now, since I first really started learning about this and getting a beginning understanding of it, that, whatever abilities I had, whatever, strengths I'd been able to accumulate as a result of my own personal situation and development need to be applied to bringing about, and contributing as much as I can, along with others, to bringing about the actual solution to all this. So that's what's continued to motivate me.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We wanted to talk, and we promised earlier that we would, a little bit more about the experience you have had working with some of these farm workers in Southern California who are right under the most repressive force of terror of the ICE raids. This is ground zero here. And as you mentioned earlier, some of them have, instead of continuing to cower or hide and retreat, which is an understandable response to such terror, have come out and said it's the time to step it up, and have organized a strike without the unions, without a lot of the big movement backing. And they're doing it, like you said, we couldn't wait anymore. Our lives are on the line. So you've been working with some of them. You've been up there quite a bit. Why don't you talk a little bit about what your experience has been?
Yeah. So this is a, it's a small but very powerful core of farm workers who, are very, very different, very loving people who, who are just fed up, who are just tired. These are some of these people that actually share some of their experiences of like marching together for like decades, fighting for legalization for all, fighting, for protection, of these people that are, on top of the horrific conditions that they were already living through, right? Picking all these vegetables, right? One of them talked about getting paid like $6 for a box, picking a whole box of like strawberries, a whole box of cherries, right? You think about how small cherries are, to fit them in a whole box to just get paid $6, right? For them, right? He shares a lot of like, all of the horrific things that they get, all of the ugly shit that Trump is unleashing that gets spewed at them, right? Mm. The being called criminals and terrorists and lazy and all of this, right? That one of them at the press conference threw out his taxes, you know, he brought out like his taxes and envelopes, right? And just threw them to the ground to show like, we're not criminals. We're like, we're literally in our places of work where these ICE agents are coming and are terrorizing people. They're just fed up. And they, you know, they've publicly said they have gone to the unions, they've gone to different people to ask for help. And a social media influencer and other, you know, local activists responded to their call and said, we got your back, you know, and they started getting the call out. And I was invited into one of these meetings where they very powerfully spoke about these conditions and just being tired of waiting, you know, that they, again, one of these examples of like, you know, feeling the responsibility to actually start something, to actually be the voices that call on other people to stand up and not go along with, you know, this business as usual. So they basically called for a 3-day strike to don't go to work, you know, no shopping, and to get out, you know, their demands that actually has gone, including like you know, international news has picked it up, right? And you know, reporters from Mexico City that have come, you know, are very intrigued that like some of these people that are actually standing up and are saying we're not going to take this anymore, right?
You know, Michelle, one of the things that I heard from an immigrant that we were working with in another part of the country who was networked in when this strike was being considered is he was telling me, and I didn't know this, how quickly, within a matter of days, the crops in the field, if they're not picked, if they're not maintained, can deteriorate and die. And actually how much the stakes of a 3-day strike can really impact the crop as a whole, the agricultural produce as a whole, the economy of the farms as a whole. And so this is pretty high stakes. In addition to the immediate terror that they are facing directly, what they're putting on the line. I know that you have been talking with them. You've been out visiting with them. You've been out in the organizing in different ways. And one of the things that you told me is that a number of them keep asking you to come when it's time to speak to the media because you are able to put their struggle in a larger context with the whole fascism of the regime and also a challenge to other decent people beyond the farm workers in society. I wonder if there's more that you want to share about sort of both what you've learned from them, but also what they've been asking and interested that you're bringing that they are not as familiar with.
Yeah, I think that's one of the very important things is that we're learning from each other, you know, and I think this larger kind of context that I think a lot of people are very hungry for right now, right? Of even this thing of like, something so basic that people are just, you know, like, where does your food come from? You know, like who picks your food and what conditions are people like actually put through, right? Like these are, you know, and they've powerfully kind of exposed some of this, like, you know, not every, they have to go out there because a lot of them are undocumented, right? And they're getting paid like very little money, right? And then there is kind of on top of all of these conditions, they considered this strike because they were saying a lot of these farm workers were not even showing up to work. You know, there was already a lot of people that were just scared and they were saying, let's actually put some action to that and call for people purposely don't go to work, you know. And in the context of all of this that we were discussing, I just, you know, some through different discussions with different people, right? But we're getting into some of these questions of like, this is fascism, you know, and kind of, you know, and the need to actually step up the kind of resistance and struggle, right? They have a lot of heart for the people that actually could be out there, you know, in the streets and in ways that they actually can't or that they feel that they can't, you know?
What were the things that struck you most when you were interviewing them? What did you learn? What stayed with you from those exchanges?
I think the larger aspirations that they have that hadn't even been tapped into. The moment I asked one of the farm workers and a supporter, you know, who has been right in the middle of organizing, you know, some of this strike. The moment I asked them, what's your largest dreams for humanity? And, you know, not just what we're going to be able to, you know, have an impact with the strike kind of immediately, but like the larger kind of future for humanity, they both kind of were moved to tears and kind of, you know, both expressed that they hadn't been asked that question before, right? But also had to go deeper into kind of like, is it even possible? You know, like they kind of were speaking to a world where people could go about their lives and not and and live without fear, right? And can they actually, you know, one of them said, would it even be possible for somebody to just be able to go to church and pray without having this fear over them, which is a reality for so many people right now, that they can't even go out of step outside their door without this real fear, right? So this is kind of lifting their sights to kind of like, you know, tapping into something that I think they hadn't like even thought about, right? And then actually like the more the struggle and actually some of this discussion over like, is that possible? How would that be possible, you know? And everything, the very courage that they're actually showing right now and stepping out and yes, being one of the first like farm workers to actually like get out there and say enough is enough. You know, how many more people are we going to lose before we actually like stand up and say no to this, right? To go even further to like a whole different way that the world can be through an actual revolution that emancipates, you know, that actually, you know, emancipates all of humanity, you know, where people don't have to be, you know, living in a situation where the food that gets put on your table is coming from literal exploitation, right? So this is, you know, very, again, these the kinds of questions that are just beneath the surface.
I mean, it's so interesting hearing about this. The interviews you did were very powerful. I'm glad you were able to go up there. And I look forward to you sharing more of this in the episodes going forward. But I do want to say to everybody watching, if the people who literally are living on the edge, the knife's edge of what this regime is doing, because what was done in Ventura County and Oxnard to those immigrants could have been done to these guys. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen any day. It's going on literally every day. This is where the fear you're talking about comes from. If they are willing to step up in this way, it is incumbent upon everybody in society. Everybody. What are you waiting for? How much longer are you going to wait? How many more lives have to be snatched away? And here are people modeling a certain kind of courage that everybody needs to find within them. And we need to connect this up because it, as heroic and righteous as these farm workers are, they cannot do this by themselves. We need the millions throughout society to come back into the streets and overwhelm this regime and grind the machinery of this fascist regime to a halt. It has to be stopped. And no one's going to stop it but you and people like you. And it has to start with you. And we have to start moving in this way. Andy Z, earlier when we played the interview I did with him on Thursday, he talked about the next days of action, Refuse Fascism is Calling. On July 26th through 28th, noise demonstrations, disrupting the calm, disrupting the normalcy of the decent people, and stepping up the struggle to disrupt business as usual, nonviolently, but stepping it up. So this is very urgent. The farm workers here are setting a certain pace, but it has to be taken up by everybody in society right now.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.